Go ahead and take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go with us over to John's Gospel, chapter number 3. While you're doing that, I'll try to sing a solo here real quickly for you. I stood in the cold, watched the blinding snow, tried to make a call on my cell phone, waiting anxiously for it to ring on the other end at home. Well, the operator said lines are busy today, wait a while to try your call. I felt so alone, thought I'd never make it home. Snow had everything stalled. I looked toward the sky to ask why, when I saw a shining star gleaming so bright, just like the night that the wise men came from afar. Seemed to me I could hear them say, do not fear the lull. Who knows, this might be the night when all the family's coming home. We may be home for Christmas this year. Gathered round the throne singing brand new songs, our hearts are filled with cheer. If the greatest gift of all should be his final call, then we'll be home for Christmas this year. We may be home for Christmas this year. Gathered round the throne singing brand new songs, our hearts are filled with cheer. If the greatest gift of all should be his final call, then we'll be home for Christmas this year. We may be home. Amen. Wouldn't that be an awesome Christmas present if Jesus were to go ahead and come on back today? If he can come back any day now, quite frankly, I'd be fine with right now. All right, let's take those Bibles there. John chapter number 3. And trust you, we've stalled enough by now, you've found it. I want to read the first 11 verses today, and I've got a very simple little thought that I want to share with you. We're not going to go deep today or long, just want to share this with you. John chapter 3, verse number 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the flesh, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. Now that's Jesus, he's full of the Holy Ghost. So you know, that's two, so we can have we. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Now, I want to look here real quickly on this little thought of it's all about the individual. I was talking with a preacher friend of mine the other day, and he brought this up, and I was like, wow, this is phenomenal here. Jesus came. We celebrate here on Christmas Day, Jesus stepping out of eternity and into time for us to bring salvation for us. Hey, this is wonderful. This is great. It's perfect and all that. But the fact of the matter is, though, he came for all of humanity, but yet he came for the individual. You think about Zacchaeus. He climbed up, you know, the tree where no one really should have been looking. Yet Jesus, with all the mass of people around him, he sees Zacchaeus up there. Zacchaeus, make haste, come on down, because I'm going to eat at your house today. And it leads to his whole household being saved. The book of Acts, Cornelius, he's praying. He's this Roman centurion. The angel comes to him and says, go send for Peter. Peter's going to tell you what you need to do to get saved. Peter comes, preaches to Cornelius, and his whole house gets saved. Paul and Silas in jail. They start singing and praising God and praying, and the walls shake, the earthquake, the chains fall off. The Roman centurion breaks in, and he's ready to kill himself because he's just afraid that everybody has escaped, and Paul and Silas holler out, hey, you deep there in the dungeon, don't hurt yourself because we're still here. He comes running in there. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Takes him back to his house and his whole family ends up getting saved. What is the common thread here? Individuals. One individual person, and it leads to others, and that's what it's supposed to be. Jesus did not come to save people en masse. In a group, okay? And let me clarify what I'm saying here. It's wonderful when you see these revival meetings, you see people posting, hey, we had 12 people saved last night. Hey, our church, we had 3 people get saved this morning. That is great, okay? That's not what I'm talking about as a group of people. That Jesus didn't come to save a group of people. Those were individuals, 12 individuals, 3 individuals, 7 individuals, 100 individuals that came and asked Jesus to save them. This was not a collective that Jesus came and said, okay, one out of that 100 people there wants to get saved, therefore I'll just go ahead and save the whole bunch. That's not what Jesus came. As we go through it and we see here, verse number 2, Nicodemus said, we know. But Jesus kept responding to Nicodemus, I say unto the individual. Now Jesus is calling everybody to repentance. Jesus wants to save the whole world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. The world there is in reference to the whole of humanity. But the verse goes on to say that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever is an individual. Now there's what, 7-8 billion people on planet Earth right now? And you know what that means? 7 or 8 billion individuals who could all at the exact same moment call upon Jesus to save them, and he promised he'd save every last one of them. Okay? But that would still be on an individual basis, not as, well, I'm just going to save the whole world. Okay? We need to make sure that we are thinking correctly here. You know, Jesus, he didn't come to deal with large groups. Yes, he had the 5,000 men plus women and children that he fed there. He would have large audiences that he would be preaching and teaching to. But he came for the individuals, for the whosoever. This day has salvation come to your house. Salvation is for the whosoever's. The last half of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's not forcing salvation on anybody. If he were to save as a collective group, remember we said there's 100 people there and one wants to get saved, he'll just save the whole 100. That would be him forcing it on it. And that means salvation is not a gift. It is a demand. It is oppression. Forcing those 99 to get saved because one wants to get saved. God's not dealing with groups there. But as a gift, it's to the individual. Now, some have already opened up their Christmas gifts. Some are getting ready to open up their Christmas gifts. And people are getting their individual gifts. You know, one thing I never particularly liked. I'll just, you know, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say here. But growing up as a kid, I absolutely hated when there would be a gift for the whole family. Because I'm sitting here like, you got a blanket big enough for the whole family. Is it really meant for the whole family? Am I included in this gift? Now, that's one thing. You give my family a $50 gift card to go to Texas Roadhouse or whatever there to eat. Hey, you know what? That is fine. You know why? Because as far as I'm concerned, that's $50 less coming out of my pocket to pay. So on the individual basis, we're cool. But no, food is one thing. But here's a big picture to hang in your house. Here's some knickknacks for your shelf. Family gift just ain't as nice as an individual gift. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I appreciate any gift anyone has ever given me, and I hope people have appreciated whatever gifts I've given them. Because, quite frankly, you know, something that I saw, you know, a few months back, and it rings very true. You know, given how much things cost and how much you make per hour, you know, if someone just purchased a $30 gift for you or your family and they only get paid $10 an hour, they literally had to work 3 hours of their life to be able to afford that gift for you. So it's special because you've gotten a gift. Jesus didn't have to go about it that way. He just had to go and die upon the cross. And he's giving us a free gift, but it's on an individual basis. Just because I'm saved automatically doesn't automatically mean my family is saved. My family has to accept it as individual, because on an individual basis, salvation means so much more. Now, knowing my family's saved, hey, that is absolutely wonderful. Don't misunderstand me. But knowing for sure I'm saved, oh, that's precious. Jesus came on an to bring salvation on an individual basis. He's offering it to everybody. And I hope you've taken him up on that offer of salvation. If you haven't, I got news for you. Right now is a perfect time to ask him to save you. It's not a matter of, excuse me, sir, could I have some? You know, we're not dealing with Oliver Twist here. Please, sir, I'd like to have more. It's literally a matter of his hands already reaching out with the gift in hand. Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. See, we actually get two gifts when it comes to salvation. There's salvation, the ultimate gift. But God gives us the gift of faith. Faith enough to believe that if we take that gift of salvation, it really is ours. That's a gift in of itself, to be given that much faith to accept his free offer of salvation. But again, it comes on an individual basis. It's just up to us what we're going to do with it. Like I said, I just wanted a little thought here today to share with you on this Christmas morning. And again, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the perfect time to ask Jesus to save you. He's promised that he will save whoever call upon his name. Again, that's a whosoever. Right over there in the book of Romans, chapter number 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. I hope you've received this wonderful gift of His. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. I'm going to pray, Lord, for each and every one that has tuned in today, that they've been able to hear this little thought. I know it's very brief, very short. Sometimes short and sweet. It's just the right combination. Help us, Father, please, to be obedient to you. I pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this Christmas day. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen.